What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here, hour number two. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. Now, interestingly enough, Israel's defense minister, Avigdor Lieberman, has stated that he believes the Syrian front will be more quiet with the restoration of the Assad administration's control. It looks like Israel just acknowledged that the U.S. has lost this war. And they're not the only ones. The Arabic language Al-Akbar newspaper over in Lebanon is reporting that the U.S. is preparing to withdraw from Syria. Now, the other day we were reporting on a drawdown in Afghanistan, and it may be that somebody inside the Pentagon took a look at the numbers and said, even with all those huge, huge amounts of money coming in from the American taxpayer, they're spending too much. They're stretched too thin. And they may start pulling on back, because right now it would be very reckless for them to go on any more military misadventures with logistics as they currently are. Now, Russia has announced yet another Iran pullback plan in Syria. It's basically, they were saying the deal would have all Iranian forces at least 85 kilometers from the Golan Heights. This is similar to the offer they had a week ago for a 100-kilometer buffer, and Israel has rejected both. They want all Iranian forces to be removed wholly from Syria. Now, Israel counts all the Shiite forces as Iranian. That's where they come up with the big number that they have, even though both Iran and Syria are saying that the actual number of Iranians in the country is very small, and they're in an advisory capacity. So, over in Yemen, apparently the coalition has bombed a hospital, and basically they dozens of victims. They bombed a hospital, and the bombing caught an ambulance as it was entering the gates of the hospital. It was being shown on TV with bodies covered with blankets. Basically, the world is really turning a blind eye to what's going on in Yemen. There are 1.8 million acutely malnourished children under age 5 in Yemen right now. And Yemen's health ministry is completely depleted. They're totally dependent on outside humanitarian care, which Saudi Arabia is trying to cut off by taking the port of Hodeidah. And the U.S. is fully on board with this. And the corporate media isn't reporting a word of this. Now, there is a NATO-United States war game getting ready to crank on up in the Russian Georgia, or the European Georgia. And the president couldn't resist digging at Russia, saying that Russia basically is illegally occupying 20% of our country. Now, what he's referring to, of course, is that Russia and Georgia fought a war in August of 2008 over the breakaway Georgian region of South Ossetia. And Moscow still has troops stationed there and to support another breakaway region, Abkhazia. Now, Russia has recognized both regions as independent states, which is what they wanted to be. Russia didn't come on in and take them. It's the Crimea lie all over again. Ossetia and Abkhazia broke away. Saakashvili tried to militarily invade. Russia came to their assistance. Now, Henry Kissinger is out pushing a plan to get Russia to help the U.S. against China. And a lot of people are thinking that Kissinger may be a little bit past his prime, because Russia and China right now are very close together. They're certainly much closer to each other than either country is close to the United States. And it would take a tremendous amount of effort to split them apart right now, unless Kissinger is thinking that the Russian government is going to be brought down and replaced with the U.S. puppet, which would be a completely different story. All right, Dee. Apparently, there is a very horrific video, and I watched it, and I don't recommend that you do, but it basically documents how U.S.-backed military basically took women and children, walked them out of their village, blindfolded them, and just gunned them down. I didn't even know that the U.S. was messing around in Cameroon, to be very honest. Okay. Story over at CNET. Trump's Space Force is real, and these are the details. Now, it hasn't officially been funded by Congress, but the Pentagon is moving ahead. They've already started setting up a command structure and a procurement division. And everyone is expecting this new sixth military branch will be materializing very, very quickly. And again, I think, first of all, it's going to cost a lot of money. It's a revitalization of Reagan's Star Wars. And look how much money that cost. That whole Star Wars program is one of the things that took us from being one of the world's largest creditor nations to one of the world's largest debtor nations in the 12 years of Reagan-Bush. And it really didn't produce much of anything that was all that useful for all that money. But then wasteful spending, that's the hallmark of the military-industrial complex. Again, going on back to the movie, The Pentagon Wars, it opens with this hearing in Congress, and the character being played by Kelsey Grammer, you know, is out there saying, "We won the Cold War against Russia because we were willing to shovel the money into the flames faster than they were." And it's funny because, in a way, we understand it's true. The Pentagon's attitude is money will win the war. Well, not if you waste it, which they are really good at doing. Now, something else that should have been thought about before we started making stink face at Russia is that U.S. military bases in Europe, like Europe itself, are dependent on Russian energy. And members of Congress are now calling on the Department of Defense to cut reliance on Russian energy and to introduce sanctions against the Nord Stream 2 project. Oh, yes, more sanctions. A sanction here, a sanction there, everywhere a sanction. So it looks like now you will be paying to build power plants on all the military bases all over Europe. Meanwhile, the Army is still having trouble recruiting people, and they're starting to pay really heavy recruitment bonuses. They've poured an extra $200 million into the bonus plan, and they're issuing more waivers for past drug use or bad conduct by recruits. If you go to sign up for the military and you've got like a marijuana conviction on your record, you are not getting in. Well, now you can. And the Army in the past has basically changed the limits for weight. They're basically taking in anybody with a pulse. Anyway, let's talk about domestic politics here. Hawaii's Senator Hirono is still out there attacking Donald Trump and saying Giuliani are liars. And basically is still pushing the idea that if the Democrats can get control of the Congress this November, if they steal it, which looks like what they're going to have to do, that they're going to impeach Donald Trump. And that, of course, will put Mike Pence into the Oval Office, which I can't imagine the Democrats see as all that much of an improvement. But you have to have a high crime or misdemeanor, a provable crime, to remove a president. And they don't have one. All they have are allegations. All they have are accusations. They have a totally bogus, made-up-from-thin-air dossier from a foreigner, British spy Christopher Steele. You can't impeach him just because you don't like him. It doesn't work that way. Now, they had Richard Nixon on using the IRS against his enemies. They had Richard Nixon for flat-out obstruction of justice. It was all documented. They had the proof. And that's why Nixon resigned. And he resigned rather than face an impeachment trial, because the last thing anybody wanted was for somebody in Congress to ask Richard Nixon, why did you bother bugging, you know, the Watergate, the Democratic campaign headquarters in the Watergate, when your reelection was, you know, a study in foregone conclusions? Because the answer to that question could never be allowed out. The Democrats had gotten copies of the photos of the three tramps arrested in Dealey Plaza in Dallas, Texas, November 22nd, 1963, and identified two of them as Nixon henchmen. Now, Tucker Carlson is out there, and he's doing a whole bunch of real good work out there. I'm really starting to admire him. And he did a segment recently documenting on how the FBI is tied in to the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is not about poverty. It's not even about the law. Their primary function is to basically present as an impartial, unbiased institution that then goes on out and smears anybody who disagrees with the official agenda as a white nationalist or a racist or an anti-Semite. Even my website is on their do not read list here. So, now, as you know, the press conferences in the White House have been getting a little cantankerous, and it resulted in the removal of one CNN reporter for behaving rudely, for shouting at Donald Trump at inappropriate times, shouting questions at inappropriate times. And the corporate media are out there saying it's First Amendment. You know, we've got press freedom and the right to know and unimpeded information. But, you know, where was the same concern when Democrats under Obama were using the Espionage Act to jail whistleblowers and prosecute journalists? Excuse me? Why was there no outrage on the eve of the Ecuadorian government turning over Julian Assange to be prosecuted by Western intelligence for the crime of publishing accounts of their nefarious actions? They're very selective in their outrage. You know, it's okay when other journalists are being shut down, silenced, and punished. You're just not allowed to do it to us. We're the corporate media. We're above reproach. We're beyond criticism here. No, they aren't. Tucker Carlson has also called for the entire unredacted FISA memo to be read out on the floor of the House of Representatives. He wants to see what's underneath all that black ink. So do I. So do a lot of people. Now, the word has come on out that the redacted portions are basically all about protecting the reputation of the FBI. All right, let's take a phone call. Pete in Florida, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Trump is kind of like on my mind. I was out in Nevada in the 1990s. And, you know, he couldn't get a gaming license to own a casino out there because he had too many organized crime connections. And so giving Trump on everything is, you know, it's, you know, whether he's, you know, guilty of anything today or not, but he does have a history of being surrounded by these people.
Well, I think in our society, if you are anybody of prominence, it's only a matter of time before organized crime or the intelligence agencies take an interest in you. And there are some parts of this country where you cannot do business unless you're willing to do business with organized crime, especially out in Nevada.
Not in Nevada. He couldn't get a license in Nevada. They wouldn't let him in.
Because well, wherever it was he was doing business. But the point is, I'm saying Donald Trump probably didn't go on out and say, ooh, I want to get hooked up with the mob. It was probably a case of he was working on a project someplace. You know, and, you know, the mob came to him and said, you know, if you work with us, we'll get the unions to back off on this. And we know how the mob operates. They like getting cozy with very rich people because they make money off of them. So I'm really not going to hold that against Donald Trump. My concern is, what is he doing inside that Oval Office? And yes, he's been a disappointment, you know, but he still has, you know, 2.5 years to go. And we may see a turnaround. I imagine he's got to be getting very, very angry and frustrated that his own advisors are giving him bad information. And hopefully we're, you know, this issue of impeachment has nothing to do with his Nevada gaming license. He has to have committed a crime that is an impeachable offense, and they don't have anything on him. Anyway, Pete, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go. Now, let's take a look at the Democratic Socialist Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who was the surprise come-from-behind winner in a recent primary. And she's been described as, you know, just came out of nowhere. And it turns out, no. It turns out she did come from somewhere. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was created inside the walls of the Media Consortium, one of the crown jewels of the George Soros empire, which explains why one of her campaign platforms is totally open borders. So, anyway, now, Hillary has gone Hollywood. Hillary Clinton has teamed up with Steven Spielberg to executive produce a series based on the suffragette days. And she's also out there making cameo roles. She makes a cameo in the season premiere of Madam Secretary, along with Colin Powell and Madeleine Albright. The line between politics and Hollywood is really beginning to blur. But this may signal that Hillary is, in fact, backing off the idea of throwing her hat into the ring in 2020. There was that very bizarre situation where they were signaling that she was considering it. And then all of a sudden there was that other counter article saying Hillary shouldn't for the sake of her family. And all of a sudden we stopped hearing about that. So Hillary is definitely in Hollywood. And of course, Steven Spielberg has been one of her ardent supporters all along here. Okay. Let's talk about propaganda and disinformation. Basically, as you can see, there's this Russia hysteria everywhere. Anything bad that happens, it's blamed on Russia. You know, wildfires out west, oh, Russia did it. My washing machine broke down, Russia did it. My car got stolen, Russia did it. Putin still owes me a new car. And the corporate media is echoing the worst excesses of the 1950s, the period known as McCarthyism. We're going right back into that. Anybody who questions the official story is attacked and smeared. They're trying to bring back the Red Scare. And they don't have much to work on because the present-day Russia is nothing at all like the Soviet Union was back in the 1950s. And like that South African model who wanted to go to Palestine to see for herself what's going on, Americans today can pick up a visa and bounce around from St. Petersburg to Vladivostok. It's not a closed society. They're not hiding any secrets. The other day I said that one of the rays of hope, if you will, is that the people trying to build a Cold War version 2.0, the Golden Cut, are playing under the same rules that they used during the first Cold War. And they don't realize how much the world has changed since then. And it really has. All right, we got to take a break for commercials, and we will be right back after these words from our sponsors.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're talking about the corporate media. And interestingly enough, during one of Trump's recent rallies, the crowd was chanting, CNN sucks, CNN sucks, CNN sucks. And the CNN reporter who was there just wanted to play the victim card and was just whining about, you know, nobody liking him. Well, nobody likes a liar, especially a serial liar. And that is the reality. The corporate media has lost the trust and confidence of the majority of the American people. Now, the New York Times is upset over potential threats against the media. The publisher, A.G. Sulzberger, said he's worried about threats against journalists because of all the negative opinion about the corporate media. But the New York Times has all but ignored more than 500 violent attacks against President Trump and his supporters. They're trying to make themselves the news. Oh, poor us, the corporate media. We're under threat. We must have protection. Now, the New York Times has not made itself any new friends. They just hired Sarah Jiang to the editorial board, and it didn't take long for people on Twitter to find her Twitter page that is just filled with all this racist, white-hating posts. And now she's going to write for the New York Times. They're not even trying to be civil and sane over there at the New York Times anymore. They're out there, you know, pushing that mail bash thing here. Let's see. Are there any of these I can read without getting the FCC down on us? Blank, blank, white people marking up the internet with their opinions like dogs pissing on fire hydrants. Let's see. Oh, man, it's kind of sick how much joy I get out of being cruel to old white men. White men are BS. And this one is kind of interesting. I just realized why I can't stand watching Breaking Bad or Battlestar Galactica. The premise of both is just white people being miserable. And was full. Now, she's taken it all down. But, of course, in the age of the internet, it's already out there. It's not coming back. And it is going viral. And the New York Times is facing all this criticism. And they're trying to justify it, saying Sarah Jeong's anti-white racism is perfectly justified because trolls on the internet called her mean names. Now, if Sarah Jeong's comments were aimed at black people, what do you think the reaction would be? Why all of a sudden is it acceptable to be racist against whites? Why is white hatred now being normalized? Over at the BBC, they're being accused of breaching their own code by putting a critic of Julian Assange in charge of a special on Julian Assange. And it's hosted by journalist John Sweeney, who basically, there's no objectivity. They're trying to demonize him ahead of his release by the Ecuadorian embassy here. And of course, once again, we have the intelligence community saying that, yes, Russia is going to interfere with the midterm elections. They're getting ready to interfere with the 2020 presidential election. Well, why don't you reform the election system into something that can't be tampered with? And I got a blueprint for it right up there at my website in the upper left. It's just more Russia bashing. It's just insane. Just insane. And by the way, one of the problems we have with this rising culture of violence to solve political dispute, it's being encouraged by people like Maxine Waters. And there's a good example here. Up in Massachusetts, apparently, there was a driver stopped at a red light on Route 28 in Barnstable, and the driver behind him began honking the car horn. And when light changed, the man drove off, and the other driver followed along, honking the horn. So he thought maybe that there was something wrong with the car. And so he pulled over to the side, opened the car door, stepped out in the road. And then the driver of the other car just started screaming at him because on his car was a bumper sticker for Donald Trump. And she said, "You voted for Trump?" The driver said, "Yes." She said, "You're a racist," several other names. And the man began recording this woman on his cell phone. And she drove around his car, stepped on the gas, drove at him, hitting his open car door and damaging the side of the car. Now, because he was recording it on the cell phone, they got the license plate, and she's now under arrest, as she should be. We're going to take another break for commercials, and we will be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life, or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354, or visit MIG911.com.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Twisted steel was swept away. Did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're going to go back to the telephones now to James in Charlotte. Aloha, James. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Yeah, hi, Mike. I'm just wondering if you had heard about or had made any comment about these calls from a number of groups, primarily on the radical left, of forcibly diversifying the state of New Hampshire because it's just too damn white.
Yeah, we did this story where apparently there was an op-ed in the New York Times talking about those poor Hispanics who had moved to New Hampshire and how uncomfortable they felt because they couldn't speak Spanish to anybody around them. Well, English is the language of this country, okay? And it is ridiculous, and it does show that this integration of cultures is going to be forced. And as part of this larger plan where Soros and the globalists actually think they're going to stir all these different populations and cultures together, and it's going to go off smoothly without a hitch, and we're all going to hug each other and sing Kumbaya. That's not what's happening, though. And, yeah. You know, I'm from New Hampshire myself.
And yeah, I knew that.
Yeah, and, you know, there's something else that people might want to consider before they start getting the buses out to drive more people into New Hampshire who didn't grow up there. It gets very cold there. And this idea of taking people from Central America and moving them into the northern climes, they're going to be very uncomfortable because that's not the climate that they grew up in. Same thing with all these Africans being brought to Europe and moved northward. They're not going to do well those first few winters.
No, I don't think it'd take but maybe one or two winters to get them heading back south.
Yeah, that's actually happened in Europe. Where some of these refugees have gotten up there, they've gone through their first winter, and they say, oh, man, I can't deal with this.
Yeah, well, another thing I happened to see when I was looking up some information that New Hampshire, it has one of the highest employment rates or lowest unemployment rates and has one of the lowest incarceration rates. I mean, it looks like it's really probably one of the best governed states in the country.
Yep. And of course, if they start flooding refugees and illegal immigrants,
turn it into California.
Yeah, they'll turn it into California because that's what liberals do. They take something that's working really great and they say, we can make it better. We'll liberalize it. And of course, the exact opposite happens, but they're convinced they're right. That article that we talked about the other day, condemning liberal smugness, they're just absolutely convinced that in the long run, they'll be proven right, even if what they're doing right now is causing a huge amount of damage. True believers. I believe.
Okay, well, that's just, we'll have to see what happens. I hope they fail at any kind of forced diversification.
I do too, and I'm not being racist here. It's because, you know, I have fond memories of New Hampshire. I think all of this forced moving people around, for one thing, they're breaking their emotional connection with wherever it is they came from, and that's actually can be quite traumatic. But you're right. I don't want to see New Hampshire turn into California.
Okay, well, thanks for your comment.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go, and let's see. There's the screen here. Okay, let's talk about the economic news here. All right, the Federal Reserve is getting ready to engage its largest quantitative tightening to date, just as the stock market is starting to run out of steam. And looking at the stocks today, it looked like they were soaring, but it looks like they basically fell back down. And, well, mixed results, what can I tell you? But every time they tighten, they're trying to undo all the quantitative easing because it's put tremendous inflationary pressure on the economy. But that easy, cheap money was what was powering the stock market. And the politicians were using that stock market as a banner, as a flag. How can you say the economy isn't working? Look at the stock market. It's really this practice goes all the way back to the Clinton years. And basically, a lot of people are very concerned that if they do too large a quantitative tightening in a single move, it could trigger a panic. And a lot of other people are saying they don't know why one hasn't happened yet. The fundamentals just are not there. Now, apparently the U.S. government is now borrowing more money since 2008. At the same time, they're claiming there's a strong economy and record tax collections. That does not add up. If you've got a strong economy and tax revenues are up, then you don't need to be borrowing more money. Of course, a lot of that borrowing is to finance the wars here. Now, Charles Nenner is out there saying gold is about to enter a new bull market. And Charles Nenner is president of the Charles Nenner Research Center. And he used to work at Goldman Sachs, but he made good his escape. And now he's considered one of the world's leading researchers of market cycles. So he's saying gold is going to be starting back up. Now, obviously, if you're using gold or, for that matter, silver for wealth preservation, you want to buy when it's low. You know, common sense, buy low, sell high. That's how you make the money. And just hang on to it for the long term. And it looks like, you know, if the stock market starts to go down, despite all the suppression of gold prices, people are going to get out of the stock market. They'll move to precious metals, and that'll force the price up. No other way to put it here. Now, over in Iran, they're working on a solution to the plunge of the rial, and their plan is to create a floating mechanism for pricing the U.S. dollar to help prevent further depreciation of its national currency, which has lost its value by above 14% within only hours on Sunday. The plan would be meant to take the pricing of the hard currency out of the hands of the street dealers into a newly established secondary foreign currency market. In other words, Iran will decide what the dollar is worth relative to the rial rather than the street dealers. In the same effect, it would ban the Central Bank of Iran from dictating its own rates for the dollar and would instead peg the value of the hard currency to the actual trading rates as obtained from current transactions between currency suppliers and buyers in that newly established secondary foreign currency market. So Iran is working to basically mitigate the damage from all this U.S. economic warfare. Now, here's an interesting little story because, you know, a lot of people tend to vote with their feet when taxes get to be so high. And over in Illinois, there was a case where this one family just said the taxes are too high. It's hit a breaking point, and the Sirwatka family basically decided to move, and they left Illinois. What really makes it interesting is that Sirwatka was the mayor of the town. And he just said, that's it. We're out of here. Car sales are tumbling as automakers slash discounts for the first time in 5 years. Now, as I have been exhorting you to do, watching those car commercials on TV, you can see the tremendous deals they have in terms of leasing costs, the price of the car, and this has been in response to the fact that car sales haven't really been all that good. And so the manufacturers, corporations have been offering these very steep discounts. Now they're having to back off of those discounts because of concern over what the tariffs are going to do to the actual cost of building the car. And this is going to slow down car sales even more. And down here at the bottom of the hill, we have this old drive-in movie theater, four screens, four whole screens, no waiting. And they used to use it to run a flea market on every weekend, which Claire and I really liked. But now it's being used as an overflow lot by Oahu car dealerships, and it is absolutely full. There's a real people are not buying cars. People are not leasing cars. They're hanging onto their cars as long as they can. We held on to our Honda for 18 years. We would have held on to it longer if it hadn't been stolen. Now, speaking of cars, Tesla has lost $717 million in the second quarter, breaking its own record from the previous quarter. Tesla is just hemorrhaging money. And investors, understandably, are getting very nervous about this. And questions are starting to be asked about where are the 17,000 Model 3 cars that were produced but haven't been delivered? See, Tesla had to hit that 5,000 a week production goal and basically said, we have made that goal and these cars are outside the factory gate. But concern is being raised that there are a lot of these vehicles that are seen on empty lots and they're guarded and protected. They may be outside the factory gate. They may not be drivable. They may have just been put onto the lot missing key components until they can get the parts and clean up the supply chain. But everybody's starting to ask questions and wondering if maybe the Securities and Exchange Commission shouldn't, you know, get involved in looking into this situation. Very funny movie, Tom Hanks movie, Gung Ho, about a Japanese car company that comes to the United States and sets up a car factory, and they have to meet a production goal to keep going. And at the end, they're rolling out cars that are missing things like engines. No, it wasn't Tom Hanks. It was Michael Keaton. And this, you know, life imitates art. What can I tell you here? Meanwhile, over at Tesla, Elon Musk is saying the market is not ready to give up the dream. I think the market is waking up here. I know the people who want the Tesla aren't ready to give up the dream. And I feel really bad about it. I think electric cars are the wave of the future. And the Teslas I've seen, the Model 1, looked really, really good. So I hope he pulls it off. I really do. I don't want to see another iconic American company bite the dust. There have been so many lately. Adding to all of Elon Musk's other woes, apparently Tesla is being sued by a customer in New Zealand. And apparently the story is that Neil Darwin, who owns an electric bike shop in Raglan, picked up a damaged Tesla 90D as an insurance write-off at an auction in Australia a year ago for $40,000, which is a quarter of the new car price. And before fixing the vehicle, the man got reassurance from Tesla in Sydney that he was entitled to free access to Tesla's supercharger network of high-speed refill stations for life. After that, Darwin invested $60,000 having the car rebuilt, recertified, and approved by Tesla. Then, all of a sudden, he didn't get the access to the supercharger network. And so he's suing Tesla over the lack of support, saying he hates the way Tesla's treating their customers. Anyway. All right, so let's talk about immigration. Apparently, over in Philadelphia, they're no longer cooperating with the Immigration and Customs Authority. And it's time to make some Title VIII arrests. You know, that little situation we had there with Mazie Hirono, who's a member of Congress, who's on the committee that oversees immigration, and she didn't understand there actually is a law on the books making illegal immigration illegal. How many other members of Congress are that ignorant of the actual law? How many mayors are ignorant of the actual law? How many governors? Have we been dumbed down so much that these liberals are running around saying open the borders without realizing that they're committing a crime? They're making America more dangerous. They're costing us huge amounts of money. All for their dream of a new world order. Actually, in this case, they need the illegal immigrants to steal the election in November. And what really annoys me is Trump doesn't seem to be doing anything to stop it. If you enforce Title 18, you cut off the financial incentives for these illegals to come here, put crocodiles in the Rio Grande, start throwing some of these sanctuary city mayors in prison, and shut it all down. And then we need a national voter ID law, and we need it in the next month. We need it now. And I don't understand why Trump is not pushing for this while he still has the GOP Congress, because every Republican in that Congress has to know that's the reason for the Democrats to flood this country with illegal immigrants is to take away their seats in Congress. You could get a national voter ID law voted through right now. Somebody needs to have the cojones to do it. Now, over in Paris, there was this pro-migrant group that was distributing food for migrants in Paris' 18th district. They've been there for almost 2 years. But the migrants are becoming so violent they've had to shut down. I mean, here was a group that was trying to help the migrants, and they've had to shut down because of the migrant violence. Talk about ingratitude. Now, over in Germany, they've come up with a different way of handling the migrant situation. They're setting up what they call these transit centers. And the first one has just opened. And the way it works is asylum seekers are taken to the transit centers and they are kept there while their paperwork is processed. They're not allowed to just walk on out into Germany and start doing whatever it is that they want to do. They will be kept at the transit center. And if their asylum request is approved, they enter Germany. And if it's not, they're sent back home. Anyway, we're going to take another break for commercials, and we will be right back.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you one from Amazon.com. I just wanted you to know I saw my doctor and I laughed because he said, "I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it." I have been taking Extendivite. I had borderline high blood pressure, heart flutter, high cholesterol. I changed my diet and included Extendivite with an amazing turnaround for the better. A few months later, I had a doctor's appointment and took a stress test. I passed. No heart flutter. Blood pressure was perfect. My doctor even took me off my medicine. I thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. This stuff works, and I'm so grateful for Extendivite. Thank you, Justin G. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Well, they're stealing down on Wall Street and in Washington, too. You know, it makes me wonder, what's a guy on Main Street to do? I've always tried to be an honest, upstanding kind of guy. But I must admit lately, I thought about giving something else a try. Oh, I want to be a pirate. I want to sail the seven seas. Yeah, I want to be a pirate. I want to do just what.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. Now, over in Great Britain, as they get closer and closer to the deadline for the Brexit, they're basically trying to prepare and plan for a no-deal Brexit scenario. And they're basically doing studies, and authorities are concerned over what's going to happen initially. And they're saying that a lot of stuff is not going to be working. They're concerned about delivery of public services. They're even concerned that there will be social unrest, probably paid for by George Soros here. And they're basically trying to predict the impact of Brexit on social care, border control, and most importantly, access to food products and medicines under the conditions of uncertain Brexit talks, both with Brussels and within the British government itself. Well, I thought, if I recall correctly, that during the campaign, Donald Trump said he would immediately sign a trade deal with Britain after the Brexit. And I have to wonder why we're not hearing anything about that. Okay, now, apparently there is a petition out there in Great Britain to basically bar Steve Bannon from entering the United Kingdom. They've already gotten 10,000 signatures, which now obliges London to issue an official response to the request. And if the number of citizens supporting the document reaches 100,000, then the petition may be taken under consideration for debate in the British Parliament. But apparently the petition, which was started by citizen activist Bruce Johnston, is intended to prevent Bannon from, quote, disseminating messages of hate in the UK. Now, speaking of fakery and so forth and so on, apparently there was a Facebook group that orchestrated real-life pro-DACA anti-Trump protests. And a lot of people signed on to this Facebook group. It turned out that Facebook group was itself a hoax. It was a fake. You know, its obvious intention was to galvanize people to go on out and scream at Donald Trump over the deferred action for childhood arrivals. And again, it's the open borders people. They want those borders open. They need those illegal immigrant votes. And I'll tell you, if Congress and Trump don't address these issues right now, they deserve to lose the Congress in November. I'm sorry. They've had a year and a half to look at this and understand what was going on. And all they can do is sit around, take the pills that are delivered to them there in the Capitol building, and who knows. Anyway, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with hour number three after these few words.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
About 6 months ago, my wife bought Extendivite. She didn't tell me she was giving it to me. So after about 3 days, I said, maybe the weather's changed or something. I said, my legs feel really good. And she goes, well, I've been giving you this stuff, and it was the Extendivite. And you know that I'm about 75% better. I can actually climb stairs now, and I can get up out of chairs. I can even get down and, I have to work under a table or a computer table and work on a computer. I can actually get back up off the floor. You know what? It's an amazing product. I didn't think anything short of having surgery was going to help.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928.
888-888-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.